Billy, I forgot to really, or I should say I didn't get. When will you be leaving to go over?
On the 26th.
Oh, on the 26th, okay. Remember? Remember Sister Faye, Alec, and I were there at the hospital today to see her. They still do not know what her problem is. She did have some tests, apparently not any heart problems as far as they can determine, but she did black out again, and I'm sure she values your prayer. It was nice to see Lloyd Sawyer. Alec had the privilege of leading to the Lord a few days ago. We've been witnessing to Lloyd, who's from Green Turtle Key, and for many years, and finally he's accepted the Lord. And it sounds very bright, even though he has a stroke, but I could make out what he was saying. And Alec went in after me, and had a little time with him as well. There's so many of the Lord's people that are not well. And the list just seems to increase day by day. There are all kinds of problems, emotional problems, the problems with the delinquent children, the parents, Christian parents that are really frustrated, and they really need a lot of prayer. You're familiar with some of them. You know many of them, in fact. Just keep them in mind. And it's nice to know that refreshing song the choir was singing. Thank you for that. It really blessed my heart. As well as the last one the congregation was singing. That's just a reminder that it won't be long that we'll be home. And by the way, if the Lord Jesus should come tonight, would you feel sorry that your plans have been interrupted? Are any plans in this world or this life better, supersedes, greater, that is, than the coming of the Lord? Just remember that He is coming. Of course, we don't want to look at it as a cop-out either for our responsibility. Whatever we have to do, we should do it. We should apply our hearts with such a determination to really please Him and to do His work, because night cometh when no man can work. Now, that's not the subject tonight. I want you to turn to Colossians, please, chapter 2. Again, let me say, delighted to be back with you, even though for just a few days. Colossians chapter 2, tremendous book. While Ephesians emphasizes the body of Christ, but here in Colossians, it's the head of the body, the Lord Jesus, that really the Spirit of the Lord emphasizes. And I want you to just look at verse 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. May God bless the reading of those two verses. There'll be others I'd like to just share with you. What I've been concerned about today is just to refresh our hearts and encourage our hearts regarding the titles or the names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've just come through the Christmas season, and unfortunately for a lot of people, Christmas season ends, you know, just by the turn of the year. But there are a lot of the titles given to the Lord Jesus that should really stick with us, and we should be mindful of them. And one of the things that always encourages my heart in traveling, visiting people, especially the Lord's people that have that awful disease that of Alzheimer's, they cannot remember my name. I go in their to their homes, and they look at me, and it's difficult to communicate. It's hard to open the Bible and try to construct, let's say, thoughts that would encourage them. But I noticed that when I try to sing, mind you, I won't make Carnegie Hall, but maybe the angels in glory are shouting hallelujah when I sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how so many of them are able to pick up words and think about the Lord Jesus. Brother Uriel had tears for 4 years. Uriel Underwood, paralyzed completely. I don't even know all of his problems. There's perhaps Parkinson's and some other things as well. And there he was a couple of days ago when Kevin and I went to see him. And he just couldn't even grunt. He couldn't even say a word. And until I bent down in the last verse of a hymn, whether the notes sounded discordant to him or what, I don't know, but I don't believe so. It was when we got to that hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," and I got real low to his ear, and he grunted. He said a little, just a little, but he knew what and whom we were singing about. And I think of dear Sister Nell over in Green Turtle Key. Brother Alec always goes to see him. She doesn't even know her husband or his name. And we've had some wonderful fellowship together. Believe me, we have over the years. Spent many times around the kitchen table, eating as well as enjoying wonderful fellowship with her. Well, she has this problem too. And the only way I can communicate with Nell is just sing. And if we could have two or three of us there or myself, and she can sing those hymns word for word. It is amazing. She can't remember anything else. And then she would finish off, and at the end of the hymn, she would say, "That was a nice one, wasn't it? Sing another." And we'd sing another. "Oh, that's a good one as well." And that whenever we talked about the Lord Jesus, now here is a wonderful miracle. She knows Christ. She remembers the name of the Lord Jesus. That'll baffle a lot of these so-called medical scientists in the world and people who scoff at the Bible and scoff at Christianity, that they are still confounded about it. And one man was honest enough, even in the mental hospitals where people do crack up, even Christians, and one nurse on one occasion said to them, you know, the fanatics, all that person does is sing hymns. And the doctor retorted and said, "Listen, that is the only thing sane in them. The fact that they can remember the name of Jesus Christ proves that that's the only sane thing in them." And he's not a Christian. Beloved, let me emphasize, whenever you're discouraged, if you can't even get to your Bible, but you can meditate on some verses, you can remember some verses, quote them. And above all things, just think on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what his person, what his name will do for you. It's amazing. And we live in a world where we need to be caught up with it. We need to be conscious of this more and more. "In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now a name was given to him in Matthew 1:16-21. The name of Jesus. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, true, in Bible times, in the Old Testament, the word Jesus, Deliverer, Joshua, Hosea, was a common name. Not being irreverent here. And people understood what Jesus meant. They have no problem with that. The Deliverer. Joshua was a military deliverer who came to set Israel free as a nation from all of the enemies about her. His name was fitting, of course, for his calling. But beloved, Jesus will be a savior in a different category. Not to deliver from the political system of Rome, what the Jews were so disappointed. Because that's what they wanted. They wanted the Messiah to set them free from the yoke of the Roman Empire. They wanted to establish the kingdom here. But it was premature and they didn't understand that. And I am so glad
Listen, I would not be here tonight had it not been for the grace of God that through the span of history, as far back as we can go, that God had his eye way beyond. Isaiah stood on the mountain and he could see another mountain where a cross would be. And he couldn't understand it. But beyond that mountain, he saw Mount Olivet where Jesus would stand and reign, or at least he would put the enemies to flight. The nations would bow, for every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He understood that, but he didn't understand Calvary. He wrote about it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I'm sure. Beloved, and that's where we come in. That mystery that was hidden down through the ages, and that was finally revealed, and the Apostle Paul was given that revelation of the Church of Jesus Christ, and is portrayed so beautifully in the epistle. And here is that deliverer that did not come to set up his kingdom then. He is going to, we know that. But his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to just suggest tonight to some of the younger believers, unless you understand this vital point, you'll have difficulty in interpreting the Olivet Discourse and many of the gospel narratives and even parables. Our Lord Jesus came for Israel. He came for his people. John 1:11. He came unto who? His own. Who are they? The Jews. But his own received him not. Then he turns his gospel to the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you study the gospel, it's always for Israel as a nation. Can I take the bread of the children and give to the dogs? He told that dear lady, that dear woman, remember? And she said, but the children, or the dogs eat the crumbs from the children's table. And God, and the Lord Jesus honored her for her faith. You see, because we had not come under the economy yet of his grace. And, but he was to be the deliverer of Israel. That's why, when he spoke of his death, his disciples were confused. When he spoke of going out and going to be crucified, they could not take that in. They couldn't understand that. That is the reason why a lot of people today are mixed up in interpreting the Word of God. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. There's a period has absolutely nothing to do with our period. It has to do with the tribulation period. When people will not take the mark of the beast. Now we can go on and on, but what I want to just get across, try to understand, as the result of Israel rejecting Christ, the gospel turned to the Gentiles, and that's where you and I come in. Aren't you glad that God included us in his economy of grace? But it was not an afterthought. You know, if you want peace as a Christian in this world, let me suggest something to you that is very, very important. Unless you can accept, unless you can digest spiritually as you interpret the Word of God, as you say to yourself again and again, my God is a sovereign God. Now today, unfortunately, when you talk about the sovereignty of God, along will come a preacher and say, well, I believe in the sovereignty of God. And then what he does, he introduces not just election, which is the truth, the wonderful truth, and the doctrine of predestination, and some are predestined to heaven and some are predestined to hell, because I believe in the sovereignty of God. Listen, sovereignty is one of his attributes. God is sovereign. If you can just claim that, then whatever happens in life, whatever happens in the world, and I'm not talking about fatalism now, I'm talking about the divine acts of God, the leading of God, the working of God in one's life or in one's assembly or in the nation. You see, that's why I never get uptight about what's happening in the Golden Heights. Because God is sovereign. The deliverer, Jesus, is going to take care of that problem. It's interesting to watch, and because I'm always interested in prophecy, and as you know, and I preach a lot in prophecy, and what happens in the Golden Heights, but I don't get worried about it. I'm never over anxious. And I'm not saying this because I don't want to give the impression I'm a super saint, but listen, I didn't worry about Y2K in the life. In fact, I didn't denounce, because that's not a good thing for preachers to do. A lot of God's servants have pushed the panic button for prophetic teachers, and they worried the Church of Jesus Christ unnecessarily, or they try to worry the world. How do they feel tonight? I sat down in my study the other day, I said, I wonder how, and one of them is a friend of mine, I said, I wonder how he feels. All the literature and all the preaching and the precious television time worried about Y2K. It's just another thing, if we're not careful, to get your mind off not Y2K, but to focus on Jesus Christ. And we can become guilty, even as preachers, of getting us so earthbound and so caught up in these cataclysmic events that are coming. They are coming. But hey, the Lord Jesus said, I want you to just take one day's problem at a time. If Y2K comes, what about Y2K when it comes? A friend of mine got his cellar stocked with food, and I said, you know, I'm going to break in your cellar if I run out. Just kidding, of course. He says, I'll have it sealed. And I said, let me ask you something. If us poor believers from the chapel come to you, would you share what you got? He says, I guess so. I said, so what you will have saved up, I said, that one day, your supplies are going to be exhausted. Pushing the panic button, and that thing is perhaps the worst problem in the world. I mentioned that to say this, the name of Jesus should produce a serenity, a calmness. He's the deliverer, beloved. He's going to take care of those problems. Revelation 22:21 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And his name Jesus is a title of humility, and we know this is true as we read Philippians chapter 2. He's Jehovah the Savior, mind you, and we connect him with the work of salvation. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Quickly, then we have the title Christ. It's a little different now. Matthew 1:16 brings us out. Jesus, who is called Christ. He comes from the word Christos, meaning the anointed one. This name connects him with Old Testament dispensation because it was fulfilled prophecy when our Lord Jesus came on the scene. Now, the Pharisees were not too happy with that name. The anointed one? Is he calling himself the Christ? Is he calling himself the Messiah? Is he the King? And they were skeptical, you see. But oh, the precious name of Christ. Precious name of Christ. At his baptism, he was anointed, and it became his name officially there at his baptism. The epistles used Christ because now they saw him as the resurrection or resurrected one in power and in glory. That's why the apostles used that name frequently in the epistles. In Matthew 16:16, remember Peter had a tremendous revelation. He said, in whom sayest thou that I am? Remember what Peter said? Peter said, thou art the Christ. You see, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Now, this was not manufactured by Peter. The Lord said that. He said, told him that this was given to him by his Father. Thus, we have this name given to us. passed on to us, of course, in a very, form of mockery, I guess you would say. Look at those little Jesus people going around there, or Christians. But to us, it's precious, man. To be Christians means that we too now are anointed ones. What a privilege. What a privilege. And this work has been done by God the Holy Spirit, of course. The day you became a Christian, you became the anointed child of God. What a name. Now you come to the term Lord, Luke 2:11, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, these titles are not just put there just to fill up a page or to, you know, for the purpose of writing. They're there for a specific reason. This is a title given to him, Lord. Here the title indicates authority, dominion. Though despised as Jesus, the world one day will bow, as I said a little while ago, they will bow to him as Lord. As Lord, he proved it by his miracles. As Lord, by his very teaching. It was when he spoke, even the scribes or the Pharisees, when they sent men to test him, they came back and said, never a man spake like this man. You see, and then when he did speak, he spoke as one with authority. And I remember on the stern of the ship when they thought that the ship was going down, he said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey his voice? His Lord, you see, the Lord of power and the Lord of authority. Oh, beloved, was it not the name given or title called by Peter? Save me, Lord, save me. And he was saved. He is a title of power. Of power. And authority. Then you have, of course, the name Christ Jesus. Then suggested, here is the despised one, now glorified. The Lord Jesus Christ, added authority and power, of course, of this despised one that's now glorified. Acts 2:36 says, God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. The distinction is there, you see? Both Lord and Christ. Now, I'm not giving you anything new, I'm sure. I'm just reminding you of these titles so that our hearts will be encouraged. Remember, when you're in difficulty, he's the Lord of authority. He's the Lord of power. Christ the Anointed One. You see, I may have said this before, but I remember when I was a young Christian, not that it moved me or it disturbed me to a point that I had any doubt as to my standing in Christ, but we went to hear a liberal. It was more like an infidel than anything else, tell you the truth. And just sharing a couple of points that he gave. And one of them was that in this great liberal church in Canada, he said, the 5 points he gave, and I only remember a couple, he said, God is scientifically unknown. Boy, you ought to see the pens that people had, the notepad, right? Scientifically unknown. You see, God doesn't have to write down all through his book, Old and New Testament, who he is and how he, all about his working. What he gave us was really tremendous, the revelation in the Bible, but he's scientifically unknowable. Did you hear the man the other night, and just before the clock struck it, the new year? Mr. Clark, I think his name is. CNN was interviewing him and people were asking questions. And one person had the audacity to say, do you believe in God, sir? And he said, no, I don't believe. I'm not a believer, rather. He says, but I would not say that I disbelieve either. I said, well, that's an agnostic. A few other things he said that about the creation, the question was asked, supposed to be created in perfection. And but as we see it, it's so imperfect. And he quoted another person saying, and Brother Sam, of all things, he said that this specialist, eye specialist, said that if he had to pay for an eye of present day time, the condition that it is in, he wouldn't give a nickel for it. Otherwise, it's such a poor, imperfect specimen of an eye. Can you imagine a man saying that? And this is on CNN now. You see, they don't understand. It's true, there's a deterioration in the body. There's a breakdown of faculty. There is a break. That's because of the fall of man. That's because of sin. But even with the fall of man and because of sin, there is no camera in the world like the human eye. I know specialists in this, but if they had to make an eye, they probably would have to make a room or an eye as big as one third or one quarter the size of this room to put all of the nerves in it and whatever to get it to function in any way feasible. What about the brain? It's not amazing how far men would go, but all of this, you see, is to just discredit the name of the Lord Jesus and the name of God, or God himself. Scientifically unknowable. Second one, I'm not going to spend much time on this, religiously unnecessary. Listen, beloved, you know what he was doing? He was taking away the foundation of those church members, if they had any, of their belief in the Word of God and the belief in God himself. And the third one I remember, it said, morally harmful. Can you imagine God morally harmful? Remember our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful title. I love that title. I really do. When I hear a preacher say, the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to make it a law that he must say, Lord Jesus Christ, but as long as we understand the true meaning of his precious name. That's why it's not good, I say this not by revelation, by Paul said, to just keep saying Jesus, 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 you know? Deliver, 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 deliver. It's good and it's true. But remember, he's the anointed one, a name originated in glory given to him by the Father. The anointed one. And remember, too, that he is Lord. And let the world know that he is Lord, whether they want to accept it or not. Take this away from Christianity, or take it away from society, take it away from a nation, take it away from our schools, take it away from our political system of the world. What do we have? We have a nation of blind people groping about in the dark, aimlessly, no direction, no sense of purpose, and we're foundering around, and we're going to Mars to see if we can find a little maggot encrusted in some clay up there so that we can prove that life is on that planet, and spend $165 million and 130 scientists watching for that last one that they shut up. And why, what a disappointment. All of that. What for? And he said that 100 years from now we're going to fly to Mars. If I was here, I wouldn't want to go. Because where we're going in the rapture, buddy, let me tell you something. Mars is just considered a dead planet. But where we're going, and soar through the heaven of heavens, and you're going to be in a place that I can't even begin to describe, because the Lord of Lords is going to take us there by a personal escort, by no jet propulsion, no, nothing as far as this earth means is concerned. And you have been singing about that tonight. Listen, listen. I know that you are intelligent enough, and I know you're equipped in the Word of God enough. But just for the sake of some, and I borrow this illustration from a well-known teacher. Let's suppose, talking about these blind agnostic. Let us suppose now that I'm sitting in a room, I borrow this, and I'm blindfolded. Let us assume the room is a circular room, and the only thing that I know is that I'm sitting in a chair in the center of the room. That's the only thing I know, okay? I get up, and what I'm going to do, according to the intervals of the world, you see, we're going to discover this, and we're going to explore, and what do? I go all around, feeling, finally I come to a wall, and I keep going around that circular room, that round room. I keep going and going. I could go out any direction. I'm still going around. I'm not going anywhere. And if I should leave that wall and come over this way, then I'm really lost. That's what's happening to mankind. That's why we're foundering on the sea of immorality. That's why we have the problems we have, because we're not prepared to accept the Word of God. We don't want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. God manifest in the flesh, come to be with us, our Emmanuel, which is the next title that I wanted to share with you, dwelling with us, God, our Emmanuel, who has the answer to the spiritual problems of the human race, who can give salvation, who has forgiveness to offer. He's a God of mercy. He's a God with a plan. He's a God with a purpose to give to us. He's got a destiny for us. He's got a home for us, beloved. But no, I don't need God. He's scientifically unknowable. Here I am, that's a sign. Floundering around. Morally harmful, that's stupid, really. I don't have to try to explain that. I feel just as dumb as some of them. Because you know that there is a moral right and there is a wrong. We know that. We see it all about us. But then all of a sudden, I find a chair. And this feels good too, by the way. Now, the point I want to make is this, what this dear servant of God made. I am sitting at a point of rest. I know where I am. See? I'm sitting in the center of that room. No doubt about it. That may serve to be an illustration, but not that vivid or strong, but to me it is one. When you move away from a point of reference, which is God and His Word, you have nothing but chaos, you have nothing but confusion. And that's why the dilemma that we're in morally and everything else that goes with it. Because we've moved away from the point of reference. And by the way, believer, if we move away from the point of reference, even as Christians, I'm not talking about losing your salvation for fellowship purposes, you're also going to be in a spiritual dilemma. That's why the world, and even a lot of the leaders, are not that dumb either, because they realize that there is a quality about the teaching of Jesus Christ our Lord, the code of ethics that is so important. It is still the fiber of truth that does keep families together and will keep a nation together too if we adhere to it. Regardless of what that man said about morally harmful. Oh, the Lord of authority and power. The Anointed One, Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't you glad? One day, in His master plan, He decided to dwell with us. And better still, dwell in us. Oh, I'm so glad of that. As one dear writer said, that to an infidel, or let's call him a skeptic, he said, if you were walking down a dark alley, and you saw five men coming down the street with something in their hand, 2 a.m. He said, you said Christianity doesn't make a difference. He said, let me ask you this, sir. Would it make a difference if you, when they got nearer to you, that you discovered that they had 5 Bibles in their hands coming from a prayer meeting rather than 5 guns? And you know what the infidel said? He said, you got me. He said, it would make a difference. I know it sure would make a difference to me if I saw 5 men coming down a dark street one night with an object in their hands and I discovered they were Bibles. I would shout, hallelujah. I said, where are you coming from, brethren? I would be very encouraged, wouldn't you? Christianity does make a difference. You may feel like a blob on this planet of ours and that you're nobody. But you are the salt of the earth. And because, listen, beloved, because he is the Lord of authority, he says, so send I you. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. And he is that authority, because he said, all power is given unto me. Praise God. Praise God. You see, we can go forth in the name of power, in the name of authority. The name of Jesus carries authority with it. You never need be ashamed of it. Never need be timid about it. And you can use that precious name with absolute joy and delight as we go through life. My dear friend who's in glory now, I close with this. I'm not going to finish the subject, but I'll close with this. I remember a long time ago, Brother Neil, he said, he is, and by the way, Neil always exalted the Lord, always. I love how I listen. I just love his ministry. The other day I picked up an old tape, worn out tape. I thought it was music on from the Gospel Chapel. It turned out to be a sermon by him, and he was preaching. I listened to that. I didn't get out of the truck. I listened until he was finished. Brother Neil always exalted the Lord. Always. He said, remember, he is the Lord of quality when he turned water into wine. He is also the Lord of distance when he healed the nobleman's servant. Was servant, wasn't his son? I think he was servant. Am I right there? Servant. And he wasn't even there. And the nobleman said, but what time did it happen? And he gave the time. He said, why, that was the exact time when I had my meeting with him. And he didn't even have to be there, and he healed the nobleman's servant. He's the Lord of distance. And he said, he is also the Lord of time. And it came to the pool of Bethesda, 38 years that man was in that condition. So perfectly timed. He's the Lord of time, and he healed him. He's the Lord of quantity, feeding of the 5,000. He's the Lord of natural law, walking on sea, on the water. He's the Lord over misfortunate incidents of life that happened. A man that was born blind gave him his sight. He's the Lord of a death, disease and demons, as he raised his dear friend Lazarus to life. And you can go on and on, beloved. He is Lord. I believe you want to say amen, but I haven't heard it yet. He's the Lord. Don't be afraid. I won't charge you being Pentecostal. He is Lord. That day they're going to bow and have to acknowledge, rather, that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's just a few thoughts regarding some of the names given to him, and trust that your heart to be encouraged. And it's always easy for me to minister on a subject like this, believe me. And may you be encouraged this week, because when you get out there tomorrow, you're going to meet a world that's sort of hostile to a degree against those things that are spiritual. They're not going to be interested. Your business, your work, it's going to be a different ball game. But just keep in mind,
that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and He's your Lord. And He is your Christ, the Anointed One. He is our Emmanuel, dwelling not so much with us, but now in us. Make our flesh. Father, we thank You indeed for Your precious word and pray that every heart will be encouraged who is sought to exalt Your dear Son. You said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. And we know that our hearts are drawn to You. And we thank You for the privilege that's ours. Thank You for Your salvation, for Your grace and Your love. Remember the different needs of Thy children here in this chapel this evening. Some of them, perhaps secretive, we commend them to You, Lord. Their trials, maybe their delinquent children, we long to see them returning to the principles that they were taught, but above all, turning to Christ. We pray for them. We pray for the sick, the aged, the shut in, for those that are mourning today in loss of loved ones. And we commend them to Your care and Your grace. Remember the preaching of the gospel by Your servants scattered over these islands. Remember the Long Island crusade planned with Rich and Kevin. May they have a precious time in the Word there. Remember Your dear servants of God in other parts of the world too. Some of them who've left all and have followed Thee. Some have forgotten. Some suffering privation at this very moment. But none of them escapes Your eye. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We commend them to Your care. We pray Your blessing to be upon each one. Remember the nations of God who are really holding forth the word of life. Or at least, they're not antagonistic. They're not anti-God. For the liberty, the freedom that we enjoy in our country. Thank You for this. Thank You, Lord, for a new year. Thank You for opportunities, privileges of serving You. May it be done to the glory of God in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Could I ever ask you to have verses 2 of How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds? It's just 5.5 minutes after the hour. Usually I go a little longer than that. And you didn't even shake your watch to see if it was working. I appreciate that. All right, let's sing. 54. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Bailey. I don't have a book up here. I appreciate that, Ruth. I think it's verse 3 and 4 is what I had in mind, but let me double check it, please. Dear name, yes, the rock on which we build our shield and hiding place, our never-failing treasures filled with boundless stores of grace. Just 3 and 4, number 54. We could stand and sing, please.